yet surpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amish the Buddha, Amish the Dharma, Amish the Sangha. In recent talks, I've been talking about what can be called the light of the Buddha nature and the way in which we commonly perceive it in the world around us, even if we don't know that we're perceiving it. I've been emphasizing some of the more obvious ways in which it is commonly perceived. In yesterday's talk, I stretched that some more and talked about ways in which we can choose to recognize Buddha even when a part of us is stubbornly blindly in its ignorance, unable to recognize Buddha. This, of course, is really talking about the right use of the will. We all come to times in our life that are particularly difficult and in which there is a particularly great darkness that we enter, a spiritual obscurity. A spiritual dark night. In which all the elements of ignorance, confusion, seem to rise up in a, like an army, and besiege us. At such a time, even those with the greatest faith and the deepest understanding are mightily stretched. And that faith is tested, and in that testing it is, if we will but continue our training during that period, our faith is strengthened and deepened. And that leads to the deepening of understanding, the deepening of enlightenment. This is as certain as it is certain that if we cave into the forces of ignorance, suffering will be deepened. This is the same process in terms of causality. You can be as sure that if you continue your training through the times of greatest darkness and difficulty, however long they may last, however dark it may be become, you can be as certain that this will lead to enlightenment as you can be certain that if you grab a knife and go out and stab your neighbor, you will be precipitated into a hell. This is just the law of karma at work. The law of karma is completely indifferent. It doesn't care whether we stab our neighbor and precipitate ourselves into hell, whether we sit down and meditate in the midst of difficulty and look up, whether we hold fast to the Lord of the house or not. Yet, this is a benign and benevolent indifference because it functions the same in all cases. That which comes and goes includes both virtue and vice, both selfishness and unselfishness. Both training and willful wallowing in greed, hate, and delusion. That which is always itself and which is not born and does not die is that golden light of the eternal that now and then we glimpse in another, and now and then we glimpse in ourselves. The events of glimpsing may be transitory, but that which is glimpsed is not transitory. Furthermore, while it is not affected by what we do or do not do, it is not indifferent to our welfare because we are part of it. It is utterly benevolent and embraces equally both saint and sinner. And all of us are the saint at moments and the sinner at other moments. Its love isn't altered by what we say, think, or do. If we blind ourselves to it through our actions of thought, word, and deed, that does not cause it to blind itself to us. If we turn towards it with childlike faith, there it is. It's never going to leave us. It's never going to abandon us. When we see in another being something of that unconditional love and acceptance, we are seeing something that infinitely transcends that little window through which we are looking, that other being. When we find within our own heart, within our own body and mind, within our own Buddha nature, that great well of stillness and acceptance, benevolence, we have not found something that belongs to us in any sense. We have found something that we belong to. that is ours because we are part of it. And it is all of us. When the clouds of ignorance come rolling in, and we are filled with pettiness and complaining and seeing evil around us, we need to withdraw back within ourselves, take refuge in that place of stillness and brightness. That little point of light that's always visible through those clouds, if we will but look up spiritually, allow our confused thoughts to quiet and allow our desires to subside, allow our resentments to be pacified. The clouds will pass. They are transitory. That little light that shines through them originates in that which is not transitory and which will never forsake us. The world is set up in a way that it helps all beings on their path to enlightenment. That impersonal law of karma is constantly providing us with the precise teaching that we need if we will but bow to it. The teaching of the precepts comes directly out of that bowing. When our heart is hardening towards anyone or anything, we need to withdraw within and allow our heart to soften. The victim who thinks that the solution for being a victim is to stand up to the perpetrator and get even is only changing the role of victim for the role of perpetrator. The victim who takes the road of sympathy and empathy while, when necessary, still saying no to that which needs to be said no to, has found the solution to the koan of being a victim. We can't solve the problem of suffering by denying the Buddha nature in ourselves or in another person. We can only perpetuate suffering by such a means.